Welcome to Life Church Hurley's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll enjoy.
She did an awesome job in Chile. As much as she says she's not a teacher, she really did well. And you would have been proud I'd show you that video, but you wouldn't understand it because they're speaking that funny language. They tell me it's the language of heaven, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway, I want to talk to you this morning about what Leah and the praise team were singing about. And God gave me this message a few weeks ago, and as soon as Stephen asked me to share this morning, this is what he brought to my mind. And I had no idea what we would be singing, the songs that she would bring out, but the message is, who is Jesus to you? Peter was asked, and his disciples were asked by the Lord, who do the people say that I am? And they told him, they say, you're John the Baptist, you're Jeremiah, you're this and this and this. And then he said, but who do you say that I am? So that's the question this morning. Who is Jesus to you? The book of John, the first five verses, tell us basically who Jesus is. This is, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Father, I ask you this morning just to anoint us, Father, with your very presence. To touch every heart that's here. Lord, to open our hearts up to hear you and to draw near to you as you draw us nearer, as you draw close, as you fill our hearts, as you become more and more to us with each day, with each breath, with everything that happens in our life, Father. We love you. We bless you. We adore you, Father. You're everything to our lives, to our ministries, to our families. Without you, we are nothing. Without your presence in our lives, we're just in confusion and running around looking for what to fulfill us. But Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to die and raise again to give us life and to actually live inside us and live out his life through us. So, Father, we just ask you this morning to enlighten us into our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. While we were there in Chile, Pastor Pablo, after hearing both of us share a few times, he got up before the church and he said, John and Jesse have said something that I've not heard before. And he's been a pastor for a long time. Several churches throughout Chile. He came up here and was educated years ago. And in fact, I was supposed to go and work with him in the mission field when I went to the mission field over 25 years ago. And he had already been pastoring for many years. So it's not that he hasn't heard people. Not that he hasn't heard sermons and preached many sermons. But when he heard us say, Holy Spirit told me, it was a new thing to him. When he heard us say that the Lord said this to us about what we were to preach, what we were to teach, where we were to go, how he showed us step by step what we were to do, it was strange to him. And I know this man, he loves God. He's pastored and preached for more years than I can think. And yet, he didn't understand the simplicity of saying, Holy Spirit said. Jesus said to me. So, I can't evaluate his relationship. But what the Lord was speaking to me is this comes from one thing. And it's something that we don't normally recognize with Jesus, with God the Father. So many people see God as somebody far off. But the one thing he spoke to me was intimacy. Intimacy with the Father, intimacy with Jesus. Knowing Jesus the same way you know your spouse or your children, your father, your parents, your brothers, your sisters. That you don't talk to him like, oh God, please help me. You talk to him as if he were sitting right there with you. You listen to him as if he were speaking to you because he is. Amen? I know it's warm, but don't go away on me yet. Don't fall asleep yet because the best is yet to come, okay? And I know Pastor said don't come because John's preaching, but that's all right. He literally did that. My friend, you know? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We seem to forget many times that Jesus was all God, all the time. He came in the form of a man. He spoke to us as a man. He lived as a man, but he was God. And when we take that away, or just see him as a man or a teacher or somebody who was good to us or close to us, we take away the power that worked through him. We take away what he really, really is. He was 100% God and 100% man, which is hard for us to understand. But God has explained him in so many, many ways. In John 8:16, these little words are hard to find. Gary, you're going to have to come up here and help me. I am not judging anyone, but even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Many times he said, I and the Father are one, just to let us know that he was indeed with the Father and part of him. He was in the beginning with God. He pre-existed in history. He pre-existed everything that we know. And he also said of us, before we were born, before we existed, while we were in our mother's womb, he already knew us. He already had a plan for our lives. He already understood who we were going to be. He already had every step that you're going to make ordered for you. Because it says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. So Jesus already knew you. He already understood who you were going to be, what you were going to be, where you were going to go. When you don't know, he already does. When you don't understand, he already does. When you don't even have a plan yet, he already does. Everything's already done with God. The thing we don't understand about God many times is we're stuck in time, and he's not. We're worried about tomorrow, and he's not. We're worried about what's going to happen with our children, and he's not. We're worried about what's going to develop next week or next month, what's happening with the government, what's happening in the world. He's not. Because it's already in his time. Because he steps out of time. Time is just for us. And I don't know really why he made it for us. Because it makes us worry more. But the fact is, we're not in his space. He's in ours. He understands us when we don't understand him. And James, it says, when we're not faithful, when we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. Because he understands us. He sees before us. He sees inside of us. He made everything. Verse 3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being. You go back to Genesis 1:1, and it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. There was nothing else. There was just God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, and they created everything. They spoke it into existence. They, as one God, spoke all of us into existence. Everything that we were going to do, everything that was going to be made was made. Does that make sense to you? Because it makes absolutely no sense to me. How could God do this? How could he just speak? Well, he must have planned all this out. It's kind of like God just put us here and gave us this incredible ability to move and work and do things even the way we want them to. And he still is so sovereign and so big and so awesome that he keeps us within the realms that he's created. Did that make sense to you? We want to say, well, he's sovereign, so he knows everything. He plans everything. He makes everything happen. Yes and no. He's got us in a place with Jesus, with Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can move and work and have our being in him. And he sees it and he knows it. He plans it out. And yet when we fall, he still picks us up. When we don't understand, he still picks us up. When we're totally confused, he still gives us life. Because he's a supernatural, awesome God. He's a supernatural, awesome God who sees us in every place that we go. While we were there in Chile, I learned a couple of things too. One is my Spanish needs a lot of work. But I told him so does my English, so that helped. But I also learned that people, everywhere we go, they want to hear more about Jesus. They want to understand this relationship. They want to understand what they're coming into. They want to understand because the world doesn't understand Christ. The world can't understand Christ. The world doesn't understand this person that you worship. They're looking to you to understand what is this relationship that makes you smile when everything is going to hell? What is this inside of you that makes you different from everybody else? What is this inside you? What is this relationship you talk about that I don't have? So we need to know who Jesus is in us. I was sharing with the pastors Thursday something that happened to me in Honduras that changed everything. Because I went there thinking I knew something and found out that I knew absolutely nothing. I went there knowing that I was a good communicator and hit a wall because I couldn't communicate with anybody. I couldn't speak the language. I didn't understand the language. But God, he put me in a position to where I couldn't talk to anybody but Holy Spirit. It was the only voice I understood and the only one that understood me. So I began this relationship with him that just began to grow and blossom into something I never understood before. I never had a relationship so close, so intimate. And when I mean intimate, it's nothing to do with physical. It's a spiritual intimacy with Holy Spirit where he speaks to you in everything, in every situation. You see a situation and you, instead of getting upset, you just say, thank you, Lord. Instead of running away from it, you just stand in front of it. What is this for, Lord? What are you teaching me? What are you showing me? So in that few months, turned out to be a couple of years of not really understanding everything that was going on, he grew a relationship inside me that I don't ever want to lose. I don't ever want to get away from. And that relationship, that marriage with Holy Spirit, with Christ, started a whole new ministry, a whole new type of ministry. When I went there, I had this great idea of what I was going to do. And I had it all planned out from going to mission school and exactly what I was going to do, the discipleship programs that I was going to build, and taka, taka, taka. And none of it happened. Absolutely none of it. But what happened was what God unfolded day by day with that relationship with Jesus. Are y'all hearing me this morning? It's knowing Jesus more than you know yourself. You hear me? Knowing Christ is more important than knowing your spouse. Knowing and hearing Holy Spirit is more important than hearing and knowing your children. It's more important than your relationship with your earthly parents. Even though all of those relationships are very important and very needed, but your relationship with Jesus has to be the utmost important thing in your life. Whether you're starting out just out of high school or you've been around a few days like Gary Poulin. I got one in anyway. His life was the light of men. In him was life. And his life was the light of men. And the word says that he shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. And if you look in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. I hate being behind the pulpit. Your flesh, your natural mind, will never understand Holy Spirit. You'll never understand thinking it out in your head how Holy Spirit is going to work in your life. You'll never be able to accept the supernatural in the flesh. It doesn't work. It's foolishness to your flesh. So we have to somehow get out of the flesh and into the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit and think in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and worship in the Spirit and move in the Spirit. And then we start getting closer to Christ. We start by accepting Jesus as our Savior. And then we begin to walk with him, and we receive the Holy Spirit, and we begin to walk with him, and he grows us and shows us things that we've never seen before. And we learn that he's an awesome God, and he's able to do things that we can't even think. And then we get into religion. And we think we got to be this way, or got to be at church this way, or we got to do things that way. And it doesn't fit into being supernatural. And I think that's one thing that Pastor Pablo was seeing. He grew up in the United Methodist, and he's very charismatic. But at the same time, many of us grew up like I grew up Baptist, Southern Baptist, down in Mobile, Alabama, Moffett Road Baptist Church, and sometimes that religious upbringing clashes with what Holy Spirit is trying to say. He's trying to draw you closer to Jesus, and you're looking at, well, what I did last week, or the thoughts that I had, or the way I messed up last year. But God doesn't see that. God's not looking at what you did. He's not even looking at what you're doing. He's looking at who you are. The first few years Jesse and I were married, we were in a house in Siguatepeque. And one of the mornings, I got up and was in the living room, everybody else still sleeping. And I'm on my knees on the couch, next to the couch, and I'm praying. And you know how sometimes God just opens something up to you. And he says, you're my son. You're my son. He didn't amplify anything. He just said, you're my child. I want you to think for a minute about your children and your relationship with them. How do you want them to see you? How do you want them to talk to you? Our two boys are now in their 20s. They don't ask so much anymore. And they don't come and beg anymore like they used to, because they grew up. God doesn't want us to beg Him anymore. Because when He sees you, He sees you in Christ. He sees you as His child. And He wants you to come to Him, the Word says, boldly before the throne of grace. He wants you to come to Him and ask Him, knowing that He's going to do what you ask Him to do. Amen? He's not looking for you to come and sit at His feet and beg Him for 30 minutes before He gives you a dollar. That's how what I remember doing to Dad. In fact, I learned to ask Him for five if I wanted two, or two if I wanted one. And so that was just Dad. But that's not your God. And when He looks at Christ and Christ asks Him for something or speaks something, it's done. And so what God is trying to get you to see is that your relationship with Christ is the ultimate importance, because He sees Jesus when He looks at you. He doesn't see Leah. He sees Jesus. And He never, ever, ever stopped answering Jesus. Amen. So when I ask you the question, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? He's my Savior. He's my teacher. He's my guide. He's my friend. He's my forever. He's my breath. He's my life. He's my Father. He's my Lord. He's Yahweh. He's Yeshua Mashiach. He's Messiah. He's everything. When you're in those dark places, and He comes in like a flood, when He overcomes the weakness, when He becomes stronger than the weakest part of you, when He pulls the thing out of you that you didn't want to see and show you that He's taken it away, when He changes the heart of you towards someone that you don't even want to talk to, when He overcomes the hurt inside of you, then He becomes very, very real. He becomes more than you thought He would be. When He puts you in a place where there's nowhere else to go but to Him, then He becomes really, really alive. But that's not all He wants to be. If that's all that He is, it's not enough. If that's all that He is to you, it's not enough. What Jesus wants to be is the partner beside you 24 hours a day. What He wants to be is the Father that you ask every time you have a question. He doesn't want you to just go running off thinking you know everything. He doesn't want you to make decisions without talking to Him. He doesn't want you to think you've got it all together, because you don't. He doesn't want you to wait until you're broken down and have nothing left to call out on Him. When you do that, He can answer you. He can bring you back in a microsecond, but that's not his best. His best is for you to come to him knowing that you come to him just like Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus is so much that you're one with him. And when the Father sees him, he sees you. When he sees you, he sees him. And so that relationship is made so that you walk in the relationship. You walk in health. You don't pray to be healthy. You don't pray to be healed because you're walking in healing. You're walking in what God has called you to. You're walking in the Spirit. You're doing exactly what God said because you have put on the mind of Christ. Are you hearing me this morning? It's not that God wants to get you in those places like I was, where I had to reach out to him. I had to wait for him. I had to call on him. Some of us are just stubborn, I guess. But he wants you to reach out to him in every single situation, knowing that the answer is already there. It's not a begging time. It's not a searching time. Oh, let me search the scriptures and see how he answered Paul or how he answered David or how he had relationship with them. You're not in David's time. You're not in Paul's time. You're in your time, and Jesus is with you today. And he understands you today. He understands you in your life. Your life isn't anything like the Apostle John. Your life isn't anything like David or Moses or Jeremiah or any of the biblical characters. But your life is what Jesus wants it to be if you just give it to him. Easy to say for a missionary. No, it ain't. It's the same struggle every day. And the struggle is here. The struggle is here and here. You know Jesus is saying it. You know that what I'm telling you is the truth. And yet you struggle inside you because you see in the mirror. And you see the same person that was there yesterday. Well, see, God's not looking at that person. He's looking in here. He's looking at your spirit, man. And He's put you together with Christ. He's put you together as Jesus, as his son. And that's what he wants you to see. And he wants to know, what is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Not to me. Doesn't matter to me. It's to you. The question is to you. Who is Jesus to you today? Is he just your Savior? Cool, you're going to heaven. But that may be a long time away. I thought he was coming the year after I got saved, a few days ago, or a minute, whatever they call it now. But he didn't. My mother sat at the table, her kitchen table, years ago, and I was talking to her about Jesus is coming soon. He said, I've heard that all my life. She stopped listening. She died 7 or 8 years ago, 98 years old. He didn't come. He may not come until you're 98. He may not come until we're all gone. We don't know. But what is he to you today? What difference is he making in your life today? It's different when you go on the mission field because everybody's looking at you and they're looking to you and they're wanting answers and you can see them because they're putting on this face. But God's not looking at that face. He's not looking at the facade you put on when you walk into church. He's not looking at who you are when the pastor's around. I remember years ago, our pastor came in, walked in the house, and I saw him come in, and I said, y'all, we better change the conversation. The pastor's coming in. Boy, did he get all over me. Don't you ever change anything because I'm here. You do it because Jesus is here. We have to change our perspective on who we are in Christ and who Jesus is to us. He is our everyday. He is our breath. He is our life. He is our change. He is our connection to the Father. He's our connection to eternal life. He is eternal life. And it doesn't start when you go to heaven. It starts the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your eternal life begins, and he expects you to live the life that he died to give you. Remember what he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more, what? Abundantly. Awful quiet in this Presbyterian church, Pastor. If he's not that and much, much more, we need to give everything back to him again. If he's not your completeness, you need to give your life back to him again. If he's not everything, you need to give your life back to him again. I remember as a baby Christian how awesome it was to know that I could talk to God. How awesome it was to feel his presence. How awesome it was to know how cleansed I was. How loved I was. But as we grow in this Christian life and we battle with the religious demons around us, we start looking at ourselves like the world looks at us. We start looking at ourselves like the religious demons look at us. And we start evaluating ourselves by the religion that's grown up inside us. And we forget how special we are in the mind and the eyes and the heart of God. How very special we are to Jesus. And we forget that it doesn't matter what I did yesterday. It doesn't matter because God gives us grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. He draws us into Christ, and Holy Spirit works through us to live out the life of Christ within us. So we are so very special to him. And we sing these beautiful worship songs, and we come close to him in worship. But it can't end there, Leah. It can't just stop there. It can't just be here in the church. It can't be just when we have people leading us. It has to be a lifestyle to where you're worshiping him every day because of the awesome God that he is. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to me? He's my everything. I don't breathe without him. I don't think without him. I don't go anywhere without him. I don't know what to do without him. He's not just who I worship. He's who I am. And that's where we have to be if we're going to touch a world that's dying and going to hell. Whether it's here or Chile or Honduras or wherever part of the world. Because there's no part of the world that needs Jesus any more than Hurley, Mississippi. There's no part of the world that needs Jesus any more than Mississippi or Alabama or this, what we call the Bible Belt, because we preach the Bible. And that's wonderful. But sometimes we forget, we get so into, I know the word, I know what the word says, but do you know the one that wrote it? Did you know the one that gave it? Did you know the one that spoke it? Do you know who he is? Has he become part of you? Have you become part of him so that you indeed are walking in Christ? Because people are watching and they're hoping to hear something. Friday night, Jason, is when we found out. We went to the hospital Friday night, one of my nephews had to be taken to the hospital. And we went down Friday night. We stayed with his mom and other members of the family for several hours. And as we were leaving, I prayed for his mom. And she says, "You should have gone in there with me to pray." I said, "Well, when I was going back there, they only had like 30 minutes. She said, "You come and go with me tomorrow morning." I said, "Okay." So we went the next morning. And we had prayed for Jason. We were constantly praying for him. But she took me in there Saturday morning. And Holy Spirit says, "Lean over to him and speak to him. Tell him that I love him. Tell him that I want to heal him. Tell him that I want a relationship with him. I don't know if he knows the Lord or not. I have no idea. So that's what we did. Jesse prayed for him, and we prayed for his healing. We prayed that God would move in his life. We prayed that this episode would help his family come to know Christ. And when he went in to do some procedure, they literally told his mom that he was extremely critical. They weren't sure what was going to happen. They weren't sure if this procedure would even be, they would even be able to do it. About an hour later, after they took him in, they came back out. And Julie went and talked to the nurse. And she came back smiling. He's going to be okay. He's going to be okay. God moves. God answers prayer. God listens and God hears. I don't know what Jason heard. I know he heard me because he reacted. He had the tubes all in him and he couldn't talk. He couldn't open his eyes. But when I spoke to him, when I told him about Jesus, he responded. Jesus wants you to go talk to people about him. Jesus wants you to have a relationship with him that you know what to say about him because you know him. Are you hearing me this morning? And I'm not calling you all to be missionaries. I'm just telling you, we have a job to do. We're in the last days. This country is not the only country that's full of problems. This world is turning upside down. Things that we don't understand are happening. Things we can't explain are happening because we're in the last days. And if we don't know Christ, we're going to get caught up in this mess. And we're going to stay in fear and wonder what's going to happen next. How are we going to take care of the family? How are we going to do this? Remember what Jesus said to me, you are my son. He's saying the same thing to you. I'm not going to let my sons die if I can in any way stop it. You're not going to let your children hurt. If there's anything you can do to stop it, God is looking at you the same way. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to stop loving you. He's not going to. Jesus is our mediator. He's not going to stop mediating. He's not going to go away. It's never going to stop. And he's faithful. Even when you're not, he's faithful. So his word to you this morning. Who is Jesus to you? He wants you. He wants to be. Number one, above all, your Savior, your Redeemer. He wants to be that mediator. He wants to be your friend, your brother, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit that walks alongside you, in you, over you, and through you. But I think most of all, he wants to be the friend that stays with you all the time. The one that you come to and you share with everything that's going on in your life. All your needs, all your worries, all your fears, all your joys. He wants you to rejoice with him. He wants you to cry with him. Again, if he's not all those things, he's not enough. So the first question, is he your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? Do you know about him or you know him? Do you know that he bled and died or you just heard it from somebody? Do you know in your heart of hearts that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or it's just something that you read somewhere in the Bible? If you haven't been saved, you need to be saved today. The word says today is the day of salvation. Now is the time because tomorrow's not promised. It never comes anyway. And secondly, if you know him, I mean, you really do know him. You've walked with him. You've been in church all your life or half your life or 10 years or 15 or 50. But that relationship is not what it ought to be. You need to bring everything back up to him. Everything. But he already knows. He wants you to share it with him. He wants you to get it off of you and put it on him. He wants you to let go of it so he can take it up. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm not real great at invitations. But I know God is wanting to speak to your heart this morning. And I want you to hear him, not me. That he's touching your heart today. If you've not received Jesus as your Savior, you need to receive him today. If you don't want to come up front, talk to somebody. Most anybody in here can lead you to Jesus. It's not a hard thing because he's standing there waiting. If you know him and you want to be closer to him, the altar's always open. To come up and pray, have some of the leaders, the elders pray with you, or just a friend, someone to pray with you to bring you back to that point once you where you once were, where nothing matters. Nothing is important but Jesus. You love everyone and you think everybody loves you. Everything is wonderful because you're looking through the eyes of Christ. You've been born again. Everything is all new. It can be that way every single day, guys. If we walk in the Spirit, if we think in the Spirit, if we share in the Spirit. Pablo asked me, I was preaching on grace and talking about the goodness of God, kind of like what we like doing up here. And he says, you're not really saying that because of grace you can sin all you want. No, I'm not. Like my pastor in Arizona said, what it means to me is I'm going to sin a whole lot more than I want because I don't want to sin. And now I see it more than I saw it before. But grace is poured out so that you can, number one, know Jesus. And number two, walk in newness of life. Not just eternal life in the sweet by and by. Today. Stand up on your feet, please. Father, I ask you this morning to move in this place. Touch every heart that's here, Father. Open their mind and their heart and their spirit to receive the word you have for them. Show them who Jesus is to each and every one, each and every individual here. Who is Jesus? Who am I in Jesus? Who is Jesus in me? And let them be sure before they leave this place this morning who Jesus is to them. If there's anyone here who does not know Jesus as your personal Savior, please don't leave this tent, this church, this place without receiving him this morning. He's waiting, he's calling, he's touching, he's filling your life. And if there's something holding you back from giving every single thing you have to Christ, you need to come let it go this morning. You don't need to leave here with any baggage because it just weighs you down. Sorry, this isn't a jubilation type of message this morning, but it's just what God wanted to say. You need to be closer to Christ today. You need to be closer to Jesus today. You don't need to leave here without him being number one, completely number one in your life. Not you, not your wife, your children, your mama, or your motorcycle. Just Jesus. Amen. So the invitation is open. If you want to come up and have someone to pray for you, please come up and give your life back to Jesus or give it to him the first time so you know who he is before you walk out of here today.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.